Welcome to Creating Wealth with Jason Hartman. During this program, Jason is going to tell you some really exciting things that you probably haven't thought of before, and a new slant on investing. Fresh new approaches to America's best investment that will enable you to create more wealth and happiness than you ever thought possible. Jason is a genuine, self-made multimillionaire who not only talks the talk, but walks the walk. He's been a successful investor for 20 years and currently owns properties in 11 states and 17 cities. This program will help you follow in Jason's footsteps on the road to financial freedom. You really can do it. And now, here's your host, Jason Hartman, with the complete solution for real estate investors.
Welcome to the Creating Wealth Show. This is your host, Jason Hartman, and this is show number 167. Thank you for joining me today. Today, we're going to be talking about finding the work you love. And I know that may sound like an unusual topic for the Creating Wealth Show, but as you know, we have been covering for the last 40 or so episodes the idea of having a home-based business, a second career, a plan B, a backup, and creating income through that, and then creating wealth through the most historically proven investment in human history, and that is, of course, income property. So again, step one, income. Plan B, new career opportunities, home-based businesses, internet marketing, all of that great stuff. And then step two, using that income to get into the bigger leagues and stepping up and creating wealth through your real estate investments and through your income property investments. So today I'll be talking with Dan Miller on finding the work you love, and he was an interesting guest. This show was pre-recorded, and I thank you to one of our listeners, and pardon me, I cannot remember who suggested that I get him on the show, but whoever it is, please shoot me an email and let me know. And again, thank you so much for recommending Dan for the show. And of course, there are more resources for him on our website at jasonhartman.com. But before we get into that interview, we have a couple of our very favorite investment counselors here, and that is Sarah and Ari. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for having us.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good. So we want to just cover, before we get into the interview, on finding the work you love, talking a little bit about what's going on in the marketplace in terms of real estate. We have some great properties in many of our markets, and also financing. The first thing I want to say about financing is this. As you know, if you've been listening to the show for any length of time or watching the news, financing has been pretty tough the last couple of years since the financial crisis hit. But remember, for everything in life, there is always an equalizing factor. What do I mean by that? What I mean is this. Look, if it's tough for you to get financing, it's tough for everybody else to get financing. And every problem is an opportunity. The Chinese have that symbol for crisis, same as opportunity. Literally translated, it means crisis is an opportunity riding the dangerous wind. So if it's tough to get financing and you get frustrated in going through the process when you're trying to buy income properties, remember, every other investor is having that same challenge. And as they're having that challenge, what does it mean? It means a smaller supply of rental properties available or becoming available for tenants to rent. That means there are more tenants and fewer properties. And what does that ultimately mean in the future for you? It is going to mean, we think, higher rents. That's good news. What does it mean for home buyers? Well, if someone wants to buy their own home today and they're having trouble getting financing, guess what? Maybe they can't buy that home, so they're forced to stay in the rental market. That's good for you as an investor because it's a larger supply of tenants. So every problem has an opportunity. You've got to always be sure that for everything in life, you're always looking at that counterbalance, that equalizing factor, because that is something that really, really matters. It looks like Sarah has something to say about that.
Well, I was just going to say, it's funny, I was exchanging emails late last night with one of our clients who is living overseas at the time being. And it was basically us going back and forth venting about the financing. And
how difficult it is.
Right. And he started by saying, here we go again, jumping through hoops to get the financing. And what I normally say to my clients that start complaining about the financing is basically, in a nice way, I tell them to suck it up. Because of all the reasons.
Is that what you're saying to all the listeners on the show? Just deal with it.
No, that was what I was saying about a month ago. But then I started working on my personal refinance on one of my properties. and really got a taste of what it's like. And so to all the people that I said that to, I do apologize.
Because now you have more empathy because you're going through it yourself, right?
It is. I mean, I was walking into the branch of this, I won't say who I'm using, but I walked into the branch the other day and kind of made a fuss, and it's just real frustrating. I mean, it is what it is, but at the same time, we're getting better deals on the refinance because the interest rates are low. And there's a lot of people that are looking to just get started and buying income properties, and they really don't realize what a perfect storm it is right now.
One other thing I wanted to say, just since you mentioned financing, and I think I know the lender you're talking about. I love to hate Bank of America. Is that, I don't know if that's the one.
It is.
Okay, I had a feeling. But B of A on the loan mod side, I have expressed on prior shows that I am having huge frustrations trying to get loans modified with them. But I will tell you that some of our clients, and one of my friends on Facebook actually had a post last night I thought was coincidental, are having some pretty good luck with them doing short sales. And I've talked on a few shows about getting out of a bad property. Someone's just got a bad deal that they just can't salvage and there's not a good way to deal with it. One of the ways I discussed is doing a short sale, and B of A uses the Equator system, and that's www.equator.com, and they have a pretty helpful short sale department. I wanted to just give out that number for any of our listeners in case you are interested in doing a short sale. And the number for Bank of America's short sale department, which is actually pretty good, I've heard some pretty good things, is 866-880-1232. That's 866-880-1232. And then, of course, their customer assistance center, I've given out that number before for loan modifications and so forth. Again, I'll let you know when I start seeing myself or some of other clients get some real success with B of A loan mods. Have had a lot of success with other lenders, but B of A, not so much.
Well, and I'm just going to stand up for them for just a sec, because just in case of either of my two favorite B of A lenders are listening, we love you.
Well, it's nothing personal. I'm just talking about the organization. It's just big. So, Ari, you wanted to talk a little bit about some special financing on our St. Robert market, right?
Yep. We've got a pretty unique deal. Anyone who actually owns more than four rental properties or even just loans that are in their name, they're having a big challenge trying to get loans, or they can't get loans. So those who want to either look at commercial loans or a different way to finance, we have a pretty unique deal there. We have a lender in St. Robert that could do a commercial loan, and everyone freaks out when they hear commercial loan because they think it's a big thing, but it's really actually not. So just a couple things real quick that I found out talking to our local market specialists there is that, one, you could apply for a commercial loan using an LLC. I think that's the best way to do that. That's what he said. That's what most people are doing. And basically, off of terms from another investor that got a loan at this bank, they got approved at a 5.75%, 20% down loan on a 3 to 5 year ARM. So it's a really good rate. The down payment's a little bit higher than our low down payment there in St. Robert, but it's a 5 year ARM, and that might scare people. But Jason, I don't know if you want to talk to people about an ARM for an investment property.
Yeah, it's not my favorite thing by any means, but there are some mitigating factors that do sometimes make sense. My general philosophy, as all the listeners have known, is stock up on cheap long-term debt at fixed rates. But these commercial loans are really quite a bit better than I thought. I mean, look, you're going to get a rate that's about 75 basis points lower than the going residential rate today. And that's not too bad a deal.
Nope.
There's always a chance in the future that you can renegotiate things if you have to, worst case scenario. But the terms of this loan are really not too bad. That's surprisingly good for a commercial loan. And if you can't buy any other way, if you've exceeded your 4-loan limit, or in some cases, there's a 10-loan limit. Again, this is different markets, different scenarios, different lenders, etc. The bottom line is, Ari, you just got to be more creative and a little more flexible nowadays. There are ways to do things. Mm-hmm. It's not as easy as before by any means. But for those in the know, those listening to the show, those working with us, our finger's on the pulse of this every single day. And that's what we do. And there are things you can do. Sarah?
Well, and I just wanted to clarify one thing. And Ari, if I'm wrong, please tell me. This type of financing is available for the two unit, the duplexes there, correct?
Yeah, actually, I was going to clarify that. Yeah, this is for the duplex properties, so it's two units. Traditionally, people think that they can just get residential loans, but yeah, you can get a commercial loan on a two-unit property. And those have tremendous cash flow on them. If anyone's looked at our website, they have tremendous cash flow. So the one thing I will say, though, real quick, there is a prepay clause with this loan, Jason, and if you refinance within the 5 years, if you get a five-year ARM, if you refinance, they hit you pretty hard. So you basically don't want to refinance or sell the property within the 5 years.
Yeah, and we believe in the buy and hold strategy anyway, and that's the fixed rate period, and it's a very low rate. So I don't know why you'd want to. I mean,
well, just to let you know that the prepay penalty works in a 5 point, 4 point, 3 point, 2 point, 1 point. So mm-hmm. every year, the first year they charge you 5 points.
It goes down. Yeah, I understand.
So it's expensive, right?
Sure. So that's an option for investors that already have more than four loans, and it's a pretty good one. And by the way, listeners, if you're looking for larger properties, we do have those. They're a little harder to come by. But for example, in St. Robert, we've got 16 units and more in brand new properties, brand new multi-unit properties, which is pretty rare. We've had that in Columbus in the past. You've heard our clients that have purchased those that have been very happy with them talking about that on the show. We just talked to that developer today about possibly doing some more business. But if you need larger properties, if you need mobile home parks, self-storage facilities, larger multi-unit apartment buildings, just talk to our investment counselors about it. Again, those are harder to source, but we do have a referral network of brokers and so forth, and we can try and refer you to people that can find those properties for you.
Sounds good.
Great.
Let's take a quick break here, and then we will get into finding the work you love when we talk to Dan Miller, who is the expert on life-changing mission and finding the work you love within 48 days. I think you'll find this interview interesting from both a personal development perspective as well as a financial perspective as well. So we will be back with that interview right after this.
Did you know that we offer one-on-one coaching? This includes 6 months of one-on-one coaching. For more information, go to jasonhartman.com.
It's my pleasure to welcome Dan Miller to the show. He is the president of 48 Days, and he specializes in creative thinking and increased personal and business success, helping people discover their unique natural gifts and integrating them into career choices, new career choices, and business choices. Dan, it's great to have you on the show.
Thank you, Jason. I'm looking forward to talking to you.
Well, likewise. Tell us a little bit about what it is you do.
I am an author and life coach, are usually the tags that I hang behind my name. I've had the privilege of moving into more and more writing in the last few years, but really got into this kind of space by being a career coach. Discovered there were so many people facing inevitable and relentless job transitions, and so I have had the pleasure of many years now working with people who are looking at making those changes. And these are usually people that are not having not just, you know, lost a job at Taco Bell, but often people who feel trapped by virtue of their academic training. So physicians, attorneys, dentists, pastors, who really often at 45 years old, you know, wake up and say, I'm living somebody else's dream. This is not my dream. Help me make a change. And so I help people make those changes, see what the opportunities are, often by really taking a fresh look at the new kind of work models that we have today available, and they really are exploding all around us, even as we speak. So it's not just a matter of where can I go and get a job and have them guarantee me a paycheck, give me a paycheck on Friday and a 401k contribution and medical benefits. That may not be part of what the new opportunity looks like, but I'm excited about helping people in that arena. And then as a result, I do a lot of writing. I've written couple different books that address those kind of issues and help people understand what their options are.
Well, fantastic. So, Dan, what are some of the new opportunities out there? We live in such an innovative world, and I marvel at it every day at how capitalism is just such a wonderfully freeing thing for the human spirit, and how it just, every possible need any of us could imagine, someone is there to fill it. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
But with the internet and with the ability to have a home-based business, a small business, and level that playing field or flatten that playing field a little bit, the little guy really has a lot of opportunities nowadays, don't they? Probably more than ever before.
You're absolutely right. I love the way you frame that. Capitalism is a freeing experience, and that it is. And it is has never been easier to become a player than what it is today. You know, with the internet, that's not just a magic pill for everybody, but certainly it opens some doors. It kind of flattens the world, so to speak, where you can be a player in a real tiny, tiny niche. I mean, you can have sunglasses for dogs. Well, you could never justify opening a retail store for that because there wouldn't be enough people within a geographic radius. But if you're on the internet, you instantly have access to the entire world, theoretically, and you can get a real tiny, tiny portion of the prospects there and still knock it out of the park. I mean, I've done that with my own personal books, where I love books. It would be real tempting for me to open a nice, quaint little bookstore in Franklin, Tennessee, a wonderful little town where we live. I'm never going to do that. There's no way in the world, you know, where I'm going to confine myself to a five-mile radius of prospects. No, I have a bookstore on the internet, and because of that, we get orders from literally all over the world. It amazes me every day. I never cease to be amazed at how we have penetrated into even other countries beyond the United States. Now, it is easy to start a business. Also, when we used to talk about starting a business, we would think about a bowling alley, service station, hardware store, bookstore, something like that. But today, the most profitable businesses often don't have any bricks and mortar at all. They're using service, information, or technology as their key concept. And so somebody can become a player right along with a major, major company. You can make yourself look like a player in that same space by simply having a nicely designed website and offering service of value to people.
And what are some of these innovative businesses? Of course, you mentioned kind of half sarcastically sunglasses for dogs, but only half sarcastically, I think. What are some of the really unique things you're seeing out there? Because there's just a limitless number of ideas, aren't there? There's a website for everything.
There really is. And again, I love the web and what it's able to do. And I've seen people take very common ideas and do really well there. But also, I don't want to make that just the cookie-cutter solution for everybody. There are opportunities for people who are not tech-savvy to do something with the unique skill that they have and still do extremely well. We have on our property here in Franklin, Tennessee, a tree that got damaged in a storm a couple years ago beyond restoration. Well, being an old farm kid, I hate losing a tree. And I could hardly bear the thought of just cutting this thing down and then having an ugly stump to deal with. So I made a couple phone calls, called the place that repairs my chainsaw, and said, aren't there people that carve in wood? Well, they gave me a number. I called. He gave me another number. I talked to a lady. She said, well, yeah, I carve in wood, but I've never done a standing tree. I've only done things on my bench in my shop. But if you're open to it, I'd be happy to come out and take a look with you. I said, well, come on out. Well, she did. She carved two faces, one on either side of that dead tree in our yard. Now, we call it our wisdom garden. We actually have created a little garden around it. Kids love to come up and touch these faces. They're about 4 feet tall. It looks like we've got Abraham and Moses looking across our yard in either directions. So we took what was going to be an ugly stump and transformed it into a permanent piece of art on our property. Now, here's the thing about that lady. She had been a corporate executive, never married, was making a very reasonable income, and just realized that her soul was being sucked out as she sat in her cubicle every day. And she kind of tapped into her passion. She actually read one of my books, 48 Days to the Work You Love, that she says helped her do that. Realized she was off base and started doing this kind of work. Now, the interesting thing about this is you would never, ever meet with your high school or college guidance counselor, and they would say, you need to grow up and be a tree carver.
Fair enough, yeah.
We are not going to find that in the Dictionary of Occupational Titles. Mm-hmm. It's way too individualized, but that's the thrilling part. You can find something that is so individualized, so personalized, that it engages your unique passions, dreams, and values, and do extremely well. There really isn't much barrier to entry. That means, and it may be intimidating to some people to think, well, gee, I'm not an entrepreneur. I'm not a Donald Trump, a Ted Turner kind of person. You don't have to be. You can shape the idea around what is unique about you. And that's really where we get the power of these ideas, is in finding things that are an authentic fit. I'm not a tree carver. I couldn't do that. But for this lady, that tapped into some childhood passions that she had, and it was a perfect fit for her. I've got a gentleman who came to me as a pastor, and he thought he was doing something very godly, but at the same time, it was very frustrating. Just eking out a living, he was working as a desk clerk at a hotel during the week, nights, in order just to keep the lights on in his house, because they were struggling so much financially. Came to me and we kind of peeled the onion, so to speak, which is always the case. We don't have to just put something on top of a person or say, here's the best opportunity or trend. It's usually a matter of looking inward first. What does make you tick? What puts you in the zone? What is it that when you're doing it, time just flies by? Well, with this young guy, he would talk about going into a room in their house, closing the door, he'd put on Beethoven or Mozart, and he would draw. Just these dramatic, abstract paintings. Had never sold anything in his life, but he would do that just kind of as a personal release and cleansing. Well, I had him quit what he was doing, everything he was doing, including pastoring a church. And for 4 years, he did faux finishes, where he would use brushes, sponges, rags, and produce these dramatic effects on the walls of people's businesses and homes. But that gave him the freedom to do these really beautiful paintings. Today, he doesn't do faux finishes at all. He simply does these paintings. I have one hanging here in my office that he gave me just out of appreciation for the transformation he experienced, and it's a $10,000 painting, which is pretty typical of his work at this point. And here's the interesting thing about that. If I wanted to just simply address his financial needs, would I have suggested that he become an artist? Well, we know what we hear about artists, starving artists. We have hundreds of them in any city in America. But if that is really his authentic fit, that's his best opportunity to find work that is fulfilling, meaningful, purposeful, and profitable. And with him, at this point, you know, his income, he estimates his income is 12 to 15 times what he would ever have made as a pastor. We didn't do it because of the money, but the money showed up because it was an authentic fit. And I think that's what a lot of people are missing, Jason, where they're just trying to do something well that they don't really believe in. They think they're being responsible by just trying to do something to produce a paycheck. That's a horrible trade-off to make.
I remember from years ago, Dan, and what you're saying reminds me of it. One of my great mentors was Earl Nightingale. I'm also a huge fan of Dennis Waitley and Zig Ziglar, yeah, of course, and all those from kind of the old school of motivational speakers and writers and so forth. But I remember one of the things Earl Nightingale taught me many years ago. He said that there are two types of successful people. And one type is the river person, and the other type is the goal person. And you were just making me think of that, because what he says is, he says, the river people are those just fortunate souls who kind of always know what they wanted to do and what their passion was, and all they had to do in life is just be in that river of interest. So if it's music, they'd be the next Mozart. If it was painting, they could be the next Michelangelo or Da Vinci or whoever. And all they had to do is be in it because they were so passionate about it, so interested and so consumed by it, that it really wasn't work for them. And then he says, for most of us, though, if we're not a river person or we haven't discovered our river of interest yet, and I know you help people do that, so I definitely want to hear more about that, it's just incumbent on us to be goal people and set goals and achieve them progressively. But I guess at some point, like you say, the goal person, that can be a drag maybe if it's so far out of alignment with one's passion and interest in life, right?
Absolutely. Those goals ought to be getting you closer and closer and closer to what is a true passion. If you're just trying to, again, make yourself do that, and sometimes people have that perception of goals, that it just kind of forces you to do the right thing. Well, goals ought to be a very true expression of what you really want to accomplish in your life. They just help you get there quicker.
Well, how can one, I love the questions you just mentioned. What turns you on? What are you passionate about? What sort of moves you? But How can someone really know what their thing is? Because I talk to people and I try to counsel them and help them when they come to me with this sort of dilemma of what should I do with the rest of my life, or whether they're young or middle-aged or older. People live so long nowadays and have so many choices that sometimes just the choices can be really daunting. How can someone really identify what's right for them?
You know, I have people struggle with this a lot, where they are still trying to find their passion, their purpose, destiny, calling, however you want to frame that. But just to make it easy, just describe what their passion is. I don't really understand why it's so difficult. And I work with people. I've been doing this for 25 years. And I still don't it still concerns me and makes me scratch my head to find people who don't recognize their own passions easier. I mean, I have a 2-year-old granddaughter that spends a lot of time with me because her mama works for me. It's not very difficult at all to see what her passions are. I mean, you walk through a Walmart store, you're going to know real quick what little Clara Isabel cares about.
For a 2-year-old?
Oh, yes.
Now tell us about that.
She's so transparent.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if it's teddy bears as opposed to doll babies, or if it's, you know, something in the, if it's being outside, you know, rather than being confined inside. I mean, she's extremely transparent. The foods, she likes the same kind of foods that I do. You know, she goes with me to Mexican restaurants and likes the salsa and chips, but she doesn't care for peas and carrots. I mean, she's so transparent in things that she's really drawn to. And yet adults sometimes seem to have just pulled a veiled cloud down over their eyes, where they just don't even really understand what they enjoy and what they don't. Now, I understand that, you know, life happens, and sometimes we can kind of become numb to things like that. I did a seminar not too long ago, and a gentleman right in the front row was very attentive during the seminar. I was talking about living out your dreams, holding on to your dreams and living those out. And he came up afterwards, and he said, you know, I really don't have any dreams. And I said, how is that possible? How could you be a breathing, living person and not have any dreams? I said, what do you do? He described that he's a pharmacist, has been for 17 years, and what he described was what we refer to as the frog in the kettle phenomenon. Now, I don't know if it's exactly scientifically true, but it makes a good point. We're told that if you put a frog in hot water, he'll jump out. But if you put a frog in lukewarm water and slowly turn up the heat, they'll sit there and cook to death. And I find that that kind of happens to a lot of adults. They grew up, got out of school, started life, and the changes have been slow and subtle, and they just never paid attention to them. And all of a sudden, they're brain dead. They don't really notice anymore what really appeals to them. I have here on our property where I do my coaching, and most people come in, at least for the first part of that process. I often take them on one of my nature trails. We just go for a walk. And if I see a busy CEO, I see the $400,000 a year CEO, and he doesn't notice the squirrels, he doesn't see the beautiful red cardinals sitting in the bushes we walk by, he doesn't notice the neighbor's horses who are playing together, it gives me a real good indication of why his life is so dull and meaningless. They just have stopped seeing things around them. So my encouragement, again, without making anybody feel guilty, is to pay attention to those things that are right under your nose. Be reminded again of what it is that you really enjoy. What brings you joy? What puts you in the zone? We talk about athletes being in the zone. What is it that does that for you? I can't imagine people not having those indicators. That's why I prefer to work with people who have had a little life experience. It's tough to do this when they're 20 years old. But by the time somebody has had a little life experience, then we can look back and we start to see all those benchmarks, those recurring themes. And it's in those that we get more and more confirmation. This is what's going to make sense for you. This is the kind of work you ought to be doing. This is how you ought to be working with other people. This is how you ought to be leading. I mean, we get all those kind of things just by peeling back the layers of life that have already happened and looking at those. I tell people, Jason, that 85% of the process of having the confidence of proper direction comes from looking inward. 15% is the application. That's the easy part. But a lot of people go directly to the application. Who's hiring? What's the best franchise I could possibly get into? What are the trends in business? those are recipes for what can be very short-term solutions and long-term frustration. But if you take a deep breath, look inward, take the time to do that, you ought to come out with a clear confidence of having a proper focus that's going to give you a sense of meaning in applied work in that area.
Yeah, good points. Stay tuned. We'll be back in less than 60 seconds.
Will you be any closer to financial freedom in 1 year? 2 days can make all the difference if you simply have the courage to take action on your dream. Attend the Platinum Properties Masters Weekend and become a successful real estate investor. This 2-day seminar is led by a panel of experts from around the country, armed with the latest real estate investing techniques. You'll learn the smart way to choose your properties, how to grab every tax benefit the law allows, how to put together the most creative financing package possible, the hidden power of the 1031 exchange, and much more. The Platinum Properties Masters Weekend is coming to Costa Mesa, California, October 16th and 17th, 2010. The price at the door is nearly $1,500. However, if you register by May 1st, you pay just $497. For complete details and to register online, go to www.jasonhartman.com.
What else do you cover in your work? I mean, unique business models, finding what one is truly passionate about. And in your body of work, Dan, what else is there to it? Is there more?
There is. I have a lot of moving pieces in what I do. I'm a big believer in having what is commonly referred to as multiple streams of income.
Oh, very good. Very good. Yes, I like that. I think all our listeners do too.
Okay. I would become bored quickly if I were doing only one thing, even though there are certain things that I enjoy a lot. I do love coaching. I love working with people, but I only do that one day a week. So you would say, well, why aren't you doing that 5 days a week? I mean, it's extremely profitable. Why don't you do that 5 days a week? No, I could not bring the same kind of energy and enthusiasm to that process if I had nonstop clients sitting in front of me 5 days a week. I just wouldn't work. So I do it one day a week. Then I have time where I do just writing. You know, I allot a certain amount of time for speaking. I have had the pleasure of working with a lot of coaches. We have a coaching network. And here's may seem to be kind of an irony in a business model, but it's been extremely successful for me, and that is I've had a lot of people over the years come to me and say, Dan, I want to do what you're doing. Show me how to do what you've done. Well, you could think that that's going to mean I'm going to have a lot of competitors. I'm creating my own competition and thus diluting the market. But that's been an extremely profitable area for me to specialize in. So I have a lot of people who are also coaches that I work with. So not only do I work with individual clients, but then I also coach coaches. I think you can find those kind of opportunities in any given industry, in any given position, where you just find creative ways to provide value. So yeah, I have a lot of, I have a difficult time saying no to all the new opportunities that are appearing just in what I do. And really, I'm just an author and coach. And you would think, well, gee, those things are kind of slow right now. Here's an interesting component on that. I have coaches contacting me right now saying, Dan, how could I possibly make a living as a coach? Because, you know, right now we're in a recession and people only purchasing necessities. Nobody's going to spend money on coaching when times are as tough as this. I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. We've had over 3 million people lose their jobs in the last 24 months. How could this not be the greatest time in history to be a career coach? Isn't this like shooting fish in a barrel? But see, here's what happens. And if you've been listening to people like the Dennis Waitley and Earl Nightingale, Napoleon Hill, and the people that you mentioned previously, you understand this principle. Those same people who say, how could I possibly make it as a career coach when times are tough? Guess what happens when things turn around and we've got full employment? They're going to say, oh my gosh, who needs me now? Everybody's got a job. See, the mentality precedes the circumstances.
Certainly, I completely agree with you that there is much to be said for the concept of the self-fulfilling prophecy. And you know, we used to have this senator here in California, S.I. Hayakawa, years ago, wrote a rather renowned book about it. And it's a great quote. He said, "The self-fulfilling prophecy is something that is neither true nor false, yet it is capable of becoming true if it is believed." And that's exactly what you're saying.
Absolutely.
People make it true.
There's a agreement from Henry Ford that's similar. Whether you think you can or think you can't,
you're right.
Either way, you're right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep, and I find that to be so true in times like these. I mean, everybody wonders if these are the worst of times. Well, they're just times. We've been through this before, but I find in this particular time, I mean, everybody knows that, of course, new building construction, housing construction is in a tank. I saw one of my friends this morning who is in that space. He builds high-end homes. He says he's trying to avoid answering the phone because he's so far behind on work that he's committed and has so many people knocking on his door to have them build new homes for him. I mean, we got to be careful about these generalities. There are people who are doing, I talked to a friend in the mortgage business recently, and again, they've been really hammered hard. I said, "Yeah, well, how are things going?" Expecting him to say, "Oh, man, I'm barely squeaking by." He said, "I just had the best month I've ever had in my life." He said, "With the rates we've got right now, we're doing refinances faster than we can get people in and out the door. No matter what the industry, there's still opportunity if you see it differently." I mean, we know that car sales are really in the tank right now, especially American-made cars. And then, of course, motorcycles are down. Not as much as cars, because a lot of people have discovered that motorcycles are more economical. But here's an irony. Are you familiar with Jesse James? He makes high-end, customized motorcycles. They start at $150,000.
Wow.
Now, surely you would think, well, you know, he's toast in this kind of economy. No. He has a four-year waiting list. A four-year waiting list. If he stopped selling another one, right now, he would work for 4 years just trying to fulfill the orders for bikes that start at $150,000. We just have to be careful about these generalizations.
Sure, we do.
Look for opportunities and recognize opportunities that other people don't see.
Now, Dan, I hope you'll forgive me, but I want to play devil's advocate with you for a moment.
Oh, go for it.
Because I think there are sort of two sides to this issue. So a couple of things. Number one is people listening to this will say, well, come on, be a realist. And what I find most of the time is realism is just an excuse for pessimism. So I want you to know where I'm coming from when I say this. However, isn't this sort of discontent sometimes the thing that gets the person to jump to the new, better opportunity? On one hand, you want to say, look, the old saying, there are no small parts, only small actors, right? That's a valid thing. And there's opportunity in every business, I'm sure. But if someone today is just fighting the tide in a changing industry or in the job market where their jobs are being outsourced to India, China, and wherever else, the whole impetus to make the leap to something new is to be discontented, right?
That's exactly right.
So where is the balance in this thinking, in that?
How many times, I mean, I hear from people, I heard from a lady today who said, you know, how could I possibly be creative when we're struggling so much financially? But here's the challenge in that thinking. When somebody is not struggling financially, it's very easy to become contented with the status quo and just continue in doing that. The knee-jerk reaction from almost everybody who loses a position, and then we hear from lots of them, is thinking, oh, we're going to have to take the kids out of private school, turn back in the cars we have, give up the vacation this year, stop with our country club membership. They always think less. And yet, you know what? 18 months after that, I so frequently hear, you know what? That's the best thing that ever happened to me. Because it forced me to look at new options. I realized I was not taking advantage of opportunities I had, and I'm in a much better place today than I was then. I mean, I hear that just so often it gets old in hearing it. So does it require disaster to force us to be creative?
Sometimes.
I hope that it doesn't.
Right, but sometimes
it does.
I want to
encourage people to take the initiative But it is difficult to take the initiative when things are going well. And thus, a lot of times, in retrospect, it was what appeared to be something unfortunate or unwelcome, at least, prompted somebody to then take the initiative and they end up in a better place. I don't want to minimize at all the challenge that a lot of people are facing right now with hard times. And it may be difficult to think creatively when the mortgage is due 3 days from now or 3 days from ago, and you're thinking, I've just got to do something. But still, in that space is a time where expect to be creative, expect new ideas, expect to see things that you've never seen before. Be reading, talking to people, going to workshops and seminars that are everywhere and don't cost anything. You know, get on the internet, listen to podcasts like this, get new ideas so you can take a fresh look at who you are, what you're prepared for, what you can move into in the next season of your life. If somebody had a job for 20 years, I've been working with a gentleman right now who's had the same job for 25 years, and now it's clear they're trying to get him to quit on his own initiative so they don't have to give him anything that they would have to if they fired him. Anyway, that's a real common scenario being played out. Well, he's terrified. At least he was until we started looking at this. I said, my gosh, you've had the same job for 25 years. You really haven't had that much of an increase in compensation. Now, he's paid pretty well, but that it really hasn't been dramatic leaps up. Do you think that you perhaps are a different person than you were 25 years ago? Are you more skilled than you were 25 years ago? You know, have opportunities changed where you would be more of a player? I mean, there's all kinds of things in his favor, and I think he can walk out of that and double his compensation, even if he just wants another traditional job.
Sometimes that layoff or getting fired from that job, like you said, it's the best wake-up call. It's unfortunate and unwelcome, but so many times, and we've all heard the stories, Dan, about how that led to the inspiration that really created some great new thing for the person going through it. I can't remember who it was, but they say there's basically two ways people get motivated: by either inspiration or desperation.
That's true.
And I know there are a lot of desperate scenarios out there today, no question.
I ought to probably throw in here, too. I mean, I wasn't exactly born with a silver spoon in my mouth. I mean, I haven't been where I am for a long period of time. I mean, what people see of me today, you know, as a successful author and coach, and, you know, we've got other company interests and things like that, that's happened pretty quickly. I mean, I had a period of time, and I was 42 years old when this happened. When I was 42 years old, I crashed and burned big time. I mean, I came out of a business disaster. I owed the IRS and vendors about $450,000. And I thought, you know, it's never going to get any worse than this. But at that time, I knew I had a couple clear options. Now, I could go get a job. I mean, I could get a job teaching at a university, you know, and get my $60,000 or whatever, you know, and be okay with that. But I knew with what I was facing in terms of repaying debt that I owed, I would never see the light of day if I did that. If I just got a traditional job, I wouldn't live long enough to have any kind of a life and repay my real obligations. I knew I was going to have to do something creative again. So even in that space, as desperate as I was, and believe me, we were, I mean, the IRS took our house, our cars. I didn't have a car. I borrowed a car from a friend, an old beat-up round-trap car, just so I could get from point A to point B. Started from that, but I resisted doing something just traditional, even though our utilities were shut off and all the horrible things that you hear about. But I jumped back in as a creative person. Actually, in that space, I needed income quickly, and I took a position in sales, totally commission, no guarantee, no base, no salary, nothing. Totally commission, just give me the opportunity. And I went out and did my best and started creating income very quickly again. Not that that was my dream position. It certainly was not in any way. But it was something that I could do immediately, and it allowed me to start thinking again long term. What am I going to do? Where am I going to end up a year, 3 years, 5 years from now? So developed over time, but I have been in a place where, you know, I hear these people talking today, gee, I've got, you know, $15,000 in debt and I just lost my job, you know, or they're going to give me a severance package for 6 months of income. And I'm thinking, geez,
That's a total blessing. I never had a severance package in my life.
How much better could you have it than to be paid for 6 months to figure out what you want to do
in the next
season of your life?
It's a great thing. That's really phenomenal. This has definitely been an inspiring talk, and I think one of the things the listeners need to really remember is that gems are polished by friction, steel is hardened by fire, and these hardships in life, if handled correctly, they really do lead to greener pastures and better things. And when you look back on them, maybe years later, maybe even months later, you think, boy, I'm so glad it worked out this way. Everything just kind of always works out. So it's definitely an inspiring talk. Well, Dan, what would you like people to know just to kind of wrap this whole thing up?
Well, I'd love to just let people know about some of the things that we have going on that may help them in their own journey. I mean, we have a social networking site. I kind of hesitate to call it that because it reminds people of MySpace and Facebook, where you just go in and put in what you had for breakfast this morning. Frankly, we aren't really interested in that, but it's an idea network. It's 48days.net, and it's just a whole bunch of happy people who have ideas that they're developing. A lot of them aren't sure how to do that well, but you know what? There's a power of synergy in linking arms with other people who are on the same path. So if they have technology questions, they ask each other. I don't have to have all the answers, and I don't. If they have questions about marketing, they ask each other. But 48days.net is just a fun place for people to experiment as they move into new creative ideas that they want to develop. And we have a lot of resources, of course, to be delighted to share with people on those. Got a couple books, 48 Days to the Work You Love, No More Mondays is a more recent one that's real popular that talks more about these creative ideas like we've talked about here. But I want to encourage people that, you know, just if you lose your sense of hope, you really are dead in the water. But as long as you have a sense of hope, there are so many opportunities today. And I don't want to be just some empty-headed optimist, but I really am one of these glass-half-full kind of guys because I just see the reality of what people are able to do out here. And we're hearing from people every day, too, and I'm thrilled to do so, you know, who are saying, you know, for the first time, I really did tap into my dreams and my passions. I would have never done it had I not been confronted with this. You know, I'm so grateful that I've been released to really go live my dream and start this next season of my life, you know, with a sense of purpose.
Well, that's fantastic. By the way, can I ask you, where did the name 48 Days come from?
You know, I'd like to say that it was some kind of a scientific process, but it really was more art than science. But my business used to be called The Business Source. Now, if there are any three more generic oatmeal names in the world, I'd like to know what they are. The Business Source. Nothing unique about them at all. And you do a Google search and you're going to get millions. This was back when 48 Hours was becoming popular as a TV show. And I thought, I'll bet I could get some brand recognition if I used the 48. And I was looking for some kind of a timeline because I was becoming increasingly frustrated in working with people who were not enjoying what they were doing. We'd map out a plan of action, and 2 years later, I realized they didn't do anything. I'm like, oh my gosh, how is this possible? So I decided we needed to put a timeline, and I believe that 48 days is enough time to assess where you are, get the advice and opinion of other people, look at what your alternatives are, narrow down to the best three or four, do a little more research, choose the best one, and act. Now, I really stick to that, too. Thus, if I work with somebody and we go through that process, just as I described it, we roll into day 49, they haven't done anything, that's fine. I'm going to be your friend, but I realize you've made a choice. You've chosen to continue what you're doing. That's perfectly fine. But frankly, I don't want to invest my time anymore beyond that. Now, that's the difference between a coach rather than a counselor, too. But I move people through quickly coming up with creative plans of action. I want to see new results, and I think 48 days is enough time to do that. And it's just unique enough, Jason, that it gets people attention. It's not something more common like 30 days or 60 days or 90 days. 48, people ask about it, just like you have, and then they get excited about the fact that, you mean I really can change my life in 48 days? And my response always is, yes, you can, if you create a plan.
Well, that's given people some hope. Dan Miller, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate the inspiration. I know people are facing a lot of difficult times out there today, and we want to turn them around and help people turn lemons into lemonade. So you help people do that. Thank you so much.
Well, my pleasure, Jason. Delight being with you.
Jason provides an extremely unique service, Deal Evaluator. Are you interested in a property outside of our network? Need a second opinion? No problem. Let our experts evaluate the deal. Find out more about it at jasonhartman.com. The price is only $50. Copyright the Hartman Media Company. For publication rights and interviews, please email media@jasonhartman.com. This show offers very general information concerning real estate for investment purposes. Opinions of guests are their own. Jason Hartman is acting as president of Platinum Properties Investor Network exclusively. Nothing contained herein should be considered personalized, personal, financial, investment, legal, or tax advice. Every investor's strategy and goals are unique. You should consult with a licensed real estate broker or agent or other licensed investment, tax, and/or legal advisor before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed. Please call 714-820-4200 and visit www.jasonhartman.com for additional disclaimers, disclosures, and questions.